I preach to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Finally, sit for a short while. I want to share some thoughts with you from a very common parable from Holy Scriptures. And it is the parable as outlined in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and continues at 36 to 43. So you can reflect on that for your week's meditation. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and 36 to 43. It's the parable about the weeds and the wheat. Someone once said that a weed is a plant that has mastered every survival skill except for learning how to grow in rows. One characteristic of a weed is that it has the ability to find itself where it is not welcome. How do you think about that? A weed has the characteristic or the ability of finding itself where it is not welcome. But in addition to that, of not being welcome, a weed causes nuisance. Nuisance to the point that if it is not checked in its environment, it can cause death. We are all familiar with these characteristics because we all have one garden or another, be it a vegetable garden, a big garden, or a flower garden. And we all know the difficulties that weed present when we find them, where we find them. And Jesus made Jesus made a very practical analogy of the kingdom of God being like weeds and wheat. If we were to transfer that in our everyday living, we all experience moments of weeds. There are 2-foot weeds among us wherever we go. And we find it difficult to get rid of these 2-foot weeds. Young people, 2-foot, not good, nice grammar, but. And Jesus said to the farmer, he said, let the weeds grow. And at harvest time, a decision will take place. The question I want us to ask this morning, how do we survive in the midst of these weeds amongst us? What characteristics do we need to have? And what characteristics we must demonstrate as we live within the environment of these weeds? October 27th, and this pained me. And it continues to pain me. When on the Newsday newspapers, yesterday was the 27th?
Yes.
About yesterday?
Yes.
5 killed. Mothers comment, I saw them do it. And look at the face of these fellas. They still have milk on it, as we say in Trinidad and Tobago. That's bad. But for me, I had a further pain as I continued to read the newspaper and I see another heading, we will shoot to kill. By a very senior police officer. Sisters and brothers, violence only breeds violence. While I empathize and sympathize with the police officers, it's not an easy job they have. We could understand that. But I want us to know that when you take the life of someone, you have to live with that for the rest of your life. And in some of the studies that I have done, I have read on many occasions where one's conscience have sent them mad. I am not a police officer, and thank God. And my heart goes to these officers. But is there another way out? If you don't remember anything I say, I want you to remember this. There is no power on this earth that is greater than the power of prayer in Jesus Christ. There is no power on this earth that is greater than the power of prayer in Jesus Christ. Prayer has caused mountains to fall, valleys to fill, and households to rejoice. I have been pleading with the powers that be, that I will bless the day in this country when in every police station in the land there is a prayer room. So that the officers can go out, can go into that prayer room and cover themselves and go out to battle. It was prayer that made the walls of Jericho fall, sisters and brothers. It was the power of prayer that caused a small boy to defeat a giant. And prayer is still miraculous in its perspective. And so we continue to live in an environment, in a land where there are weeds of one kind or another. Listen to what the book of Chronicles says. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'm reading from verse 12. You see, you never know how wet the blanket is until you sleep on it. We can empathize and sympathize with those mothers who would have lost their children. But it's when it reaches home to you, then you know what it is like. Perhaps if those young men, as has been alleged, were guided in the correct way and within the correct environment today, I will not be crying emotionally for the lives of 5 young men. The Bible says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. And this is the statement that we all know. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. As I was coming into the church, I spoke to a young man and he said to me, you know, all the time we hear God is a Trini, but you know, nobody has said God is a Trini now. I must thank those of you who responded to the call and the other members of the national committee who gave of their substance so we could have sent it to be given out. Is God giving this nation a message? Yes. Imagine we had flood, and in the week following the flood, we had about 4 or 5 earthquakes. Is God saying something to us? Yes. It is the first time I see bungalows, big houses, have no value. Small house have no value. Shacks have no value because of the power of the natural disasters. One of the good things that came out of this, you know, though, it caused neighbors who were not speaking to each other to start to talk. Give God the glory for that. Give God the glory for that. God is mostly saying, all your behaving stupid enough. It's time to heal. It is time to open yourselves to the love of each other. Probably there were weeds and there were weeds there. And God is saying you need to purge yourself. We have so much to give God thanks for. We embarked upon a project in this church only with the vision of a few, the support of you, but with a mission in Jesus Christ. And thank God this morning we can rejoice and say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. But we must never forget, while we are sitting in comfort in thanksgiving, there are people who have nowhere to sit. And so what does Harvest Thanksgiving mean to us? I wrote down a quotation, you know. I read a lot. But you know how you just remember by again? All this, you know how you remember by? Yeah, I can call you, are safe in calling your name. Give me a chance. Oh, you know what it says? We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. Hallelujah to the Lord. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And so as you reflect on the year that has gone, and as you give God thanks for the years that would have gone, what are your projections in your relationship with God and by extension each other in the years to come? There are thousands of people out there. All they want us to give sometimes is a word of hope. That's all, you know. A word of belonging. Perhaps if those five men, I don't know, would have been in an environment where the power of, I am not saying they were not there, so don't get me wrong. But perhaps if it was deeper today, I will not be crying for five young men. And you know why it's hurting me so much? I was principal of a school in Port of Spain, and I had to deal with young children from a similar environment. And so today, yes, we give God thanks for His mercies and His blessing. But don't let your thanksgiving begin and end today, sisters and brothers. You all know I have a personal ministry in my life, where I go out and I feed the poor and the homeless. Come join me. And if you don't want to join me, take it upon yourself. One hungry soul saved is one soul saved for Jesus Christ. If I can help somebody, what? As I pass along life's highway, then my living shall not be in vain. Or, I normally say, if you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load for the things he sold, don't chastise him. In Trinidad, as we say, don't take your mouth and put it on him. Give him a word to understand that there is someone who cares. There is someone who wants to identify with him. Or if you see your sister standing by the way, don't cuss him. Don't put us down. We are good at putting people down in this place rather than building them up. We forget that Jesus said, look and take out the big plank in your own eye before you pull out the stick. It's only once we are past this place, you know. It's only once, sisters and brothers. And Paul says, while we have time to do good, which is now, let us do good unto all men. Irrespective of their color, class, creed, or race. Irrespective of their color, class, creed, or race. Remember, you know, God forbid, yesterday it was somebody. God forbid, tomorrow it could be us. And so we need, as we continue to give thanks to God, to remove the doctrinal blinkers that prevents us from having the relationship that this God desires of us with each other. And as I said, as you walk along this highway of life, you would have heard me say it, let the perfume of your kindness remain behind. You hear me? As you walk along, as God gives you the opportunity to walk along the highway of this life, let the perfume of your goodness remain behind. I pray, God, that this disaster that would have happened in Trinidad would have opened the eyes to all of us. And I don't know if you noticed, you know, the first day it was east and central. The following day it was west. The other day it was north and to an extent south and then Tobago. So the whole of Trinidad and Tobago tasted Mother Nature. We need to wake up. If we are still asleep, we need every day as we get up, Lord, I thank you for my life. And in addition to thanking you for my life, Lord, and we go on. And we take out the weeds that continue to block our vision and our mission for Christ. Christianity is useless if it is only a name. You want me to repeat that? I said Christianity is useless if it is only a name. Christianity must be functional. Jesus went to the home of Martha and Mary where he wept for them. And he went to the wedding feast where he rejoiced with them. A lesson for us as Christians. If you feel you're too stush and you feel you're too good that it can't happen to you, come down. I say to come down. Come down, sisters and brothers. Because we don't know. Probably the Lord is saying to us, we need to go back deeper in prayer. We need to start to love in the days when I was much younger. Like that. Much younger. Where are we? Where are you? Are you allowing the weeds in your environment to cloak your mission for God? Everybody can't be priests. Everybody cannot be pastors. Everybody cannot be teachers. Everybody cannot be evangelist. But every man and woman who has been baptized in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has the blessing and the anointing to live and reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Stop thinking about what the other will do and can do. Think about what you will do and can do for Jesus Christ. And so, sisters and brothers, we want to give thanks to God for this place. I want to thank God for the committee that would have been appointed, Daniel and Michael and Christopher and others. I want to thank you, my dear friends, for the support you have given. For logistic purposes and security reasons, I will not say how much it costs. But it costs. And today I can stand tall in the name of Jesus Christ and thank God for giving us the vision and the foresight for championing the cause in this church that will be rededicated on the first Sunday of Advent. I bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.